Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Yeah. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We your number one spot.
Hey, come on now, come on, come on, come on, come on. More air horns, boop, fire, boop, fire, boop, fire, boop, 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 boop. One more time. It's D-Lo and KC. It is ESPN 1320, and it is July 22nd.
Acknowledge me.
Once again, it is July 22nd. Second,
acknowledge me.
The main event, the showstopper, the tribal chief of cancer season is here. It's your boy KC.
Acknowledge me.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you, brother.
Happy birthday.
I appreciate you. Jesse, you know, get on the way in and everything. You know, you get texts and comments all day. Like, hey, happy birthday, man. Happy birthday. You know, they come rolling in or whatever. And then I get a text from Jesse. And I'm like, oh, my man, Tappy about to say happy birthday, man. Let me get ready to hit him back. And he goes, yeah, I need that email, bro.
I did ask you for Deuce's email. But I'm big on, like, I'm not going to text you happy birthday if I know I'm going to see you that day.
No,
I like to tell people in person if I'm going to see them that day.
I'm literally just giving you a hard time. I'll give you a hard time. But, yeah, man, everybody's showing a lot of love out here today, man. So I appreciate you guys. Showing the love. Birthday kind of snuck up on me this year. I ain't even like wife and family asking me what you want to do. I'm like, I'm not really tripping. It's on a Tuesday. Shout out to Taco Tuesday at the mix. My man DJ Oasis, my man Nico. Big ups to him. Go say what's up to him if y'all trying to look for something to do. But it's on a Tuesday. I just got back from a trip. I'm not really tripping. Just good time with my family. You know, good time with the chatty house. You know what I mean? Good time with all my people. So I'm going to enjoy today, and we've got in a full slate. We've got, as far as I know right now, because TK, you know, she's so busy, you never know what might happen, but we got my man Deuce, Dave Deuce Mason, pulling up on us in about 7 minutes or so. We got my main man Joe Davison of the Sacramento Bee, just trying to catch up with him. I always like talking to my man Joe, man. That's a legend out here in the city. Shout out to him. I mentioned Trista Crick is pulling up on us. I did some research, did some more like diving into this whole WNBA thing and the thought process, the narrative, the talking points that a lot of people that I've seen that are opposed to what the WNBA players did for All-Star Weekend, wearing those shirts, talking about pay us what you owe us. There's two different categories. There's people who I believe are uninformed and making opinions based on being uninformed. And when they hear the information, the correct information, the reasonable information, they're like, okay, I see what you're saying. And there's those people who are start off uninformed. Then there are people who are just saying some of the dumbest things I've ever heard in this profession. And I usually don't like to do that. I don't like to do that. Like, people may think my opinion or what I say may be stupid. So I'm not, it's somebody's opinion. You know, I don't really like to talk about people and talk about, oh, this person's dumb or idiotic or anything else like that. That's their business, their opinion. That's how they feel. But some of these things that I'm hearing are just dumb. There's no other way to put it. It's just dumb. So we'll talk about that with Trista Crick. She's pulling up at about 2 o'clock, And then Jason Jones, he's going to be with us for his normal 3:20 time slot. Yeah, we're going to have a good day, man. KC and friends, D-Lo and KC. You know, I got to pay my boys drop, even though he ain't here. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my man, D-Lo.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
And we are live
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
I got my main man, Jesse Tapia, behind the boards.
What are you doing with him?
What's good, Jesse? How you doing, man?
A little much sad. We're missing out at Odyssey at the ballpark today.
Oh, that's today? I thought it was Wednesday.
Is that Wednesday or is that today?
I thought it was on a Wednesday. Maybe it's on a Wednesday.
Oh, I got you.
Because it's a day game.
Okay, yeah.
But, yeah, no, that's...
Either way, we're missing out.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
I think even Damon's going to be there tomorrow, then.
Oh, snap. Oh,
yeah, he mentioned last week, he's like, yeah, I'm going to be at a Rivercats game soon. I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, why the hell is Damon going to a Rivercats game?
Yeah.
But put two in, it's got to be this one.
No, this is great. I mean, it's not like the Rivercats ever play a night game.
Yeah.
You know, the Rivercats... They're the new Chicago Cubs.
I love baseball.
Of the 80s. You know what I'm saying? They just only play home games. Day games at home. The Rivercats are the new Chicago Cubs, and that's why Odyssey had to do this when they had to do it. You know, because the sports show, or half of the sports show, or excuse me, sports station, you know, they can't get it, but there's nothing that they can do because the Rivercats only play day games like the Chicago Cubs of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. That's what they tell me. Yeah, that's great. That is fantastic.
I love sports. I would love to be at the sporting event with our company. But
yeah, no, this is great. You know, and I love the company. That's why I can say these jokes. They know I love them. But you know why they chose tomorrow? It's an excuse to get out the office.
Yeah.
Far be it for them to work at the office and then go do the social.
Friday center. Would be a ghost town as well.
Yeah. No, this is fantastic. This is great. Hey, I don't need to go to the Rivercats game. I don't need to go to the ballpark. I don't need to see baseball. It's all good. No, this is great. Thanks for reminding me, Jesse. This is awesome.
Well, I just killed all the vibes now.
I love Odyssey. I do. It seems like, there's a couple things going on. First and foremost, the Kings preseason schedule came out yesterday. And it pissed me off. Yeah, it absolutely pissed me off. Now, it's not the teams that they play, because let me pull it up real quick. I know I have it. I know they start off with the Raptors, I believe it is, at the Golden 1 Center on October 8th. They got the Raptors at the Golden 1 Center. They then go to Portland on October 10th and play at Portland at the Moda Center. So that'll be cool. Then on October 15th, they're back here at the Golden 1 Center, and they play the Los Angeles Clippers. Then they close out the preseason schedule on October 17th at the Lakers.
How many of those games do I get to catch on Kings.com?
Oh, now this is the problem. This is where we get into the crux of stuff. This really bothers me. I think Uncle V is messing with me because he does this every year, and he knows I'm going to have a rant about it every year. Three of the four games are on Kings.com, which means not regular television.
Three of the four games, Twitter will be on fire that day.
Bruh.
Night.
Why are we doing this?
I get it.
Is the Clippers game at the Golden 1 Center. It's funny. Like, no, here's the funny thing. Like, I don't want to be like this, but like the home game that people could actually go to if they wanted to. Like, if you didn't want to watch it on Kings.com, you could go to the Golden 1 Center and watch the game. That's the one that's on TV, not the road games that you pretty much have a hell of a hard time going to.
I get it's not like, oh, we're not going to make any money putting this game on TV. Like, that's kind of been the theory or whatever, and I'm going to lose money by just putting them on TV for the preseason. Like, who cares? You do that for the fans, I feel. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's some... It's one of those things where it's like, I can't hear you poor cry as an owner.
No, bro. Like,
this is one of those things where it just doesn't work for me.
They're already making money hand over fist.
Yeah.
They've got, what are we saying, of like $500 million a piece and expansion fees on the way?
Kings.com.
You got it, bro.
Yeah, Kings.com is such a half-ass way to do it. Like, let's be real. It's always an issue. Every year, everyone's always complaining. Not complaining. Well, yeah, complaining, tweeting about it because they can't watch the damn game. I know they see it. I know the Kings see it. There's no way there's like, oh yeah, I'm sure it works out. Like, I know that you have people that look out for this. Like, you see it or whatever, mm-hmm. but you still, like, they still choose to put it out there this way. Yeah, it's half-assed.
100%. Jesse, just real quick, we're going to dip out right here so we're on time with Deuce, but I do want to say this. Here's the other thing that kills me about this situation is every other team, or at least as far as I could tell, every other team in the league is broadcasting their games. Why are you treating your own organization in this situation like a second-rate product, like something that the rest of the league isn't doing? That's just a bad job by my dog, Uncle V. And you know I rock with him a lot of times, but he's never going to get the sympathy from me on this one. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I want to be able to watch the Kings on TV, record the game, go back and watch it later. I can't even record. It's not even on Kings.com forever. You got to you watch it or you miss it. What is this, 1984? You watch it or you miss it.
Like I'm watching a legal live stream that I don't do at all.
Come on, man. No, not at all. Not at all. You ain't going to get me. I mentioned it before. I'll mention it again. My man Deuce Mason is going to be on D-Lo and KC on the other side of this break. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's D-Lo and KC. I'll just call it. I'll just say it. On KC Day. You know what it is, baby. ESPN 1320. And I've got my main man. And when I say my main man, I mean my main man. Dave Deuce Mason in the building from the Deuce and Mo podcast. What's good? Once again, the budget was, I didn't have the budget to get Mo on here. I didn't have the budget to get Mo on here. I'm, you know, the tariffs are hitting and everything is just getting crazy right now. So, you know, I could only afford one. And I went with my man Deuce.
Dude. Hopefully Damien's not going to be upset. He hit me up last week. He's like, hey.
I didn't. Did you know about this, Jesse?
No, I didn't. But this is like so perfect. Dude's just, yeah, just don't even. It's fine. He's going to be like, so pissed. But it's going to be hilarious.
I'm literally leaving to go out of town today. I can't. I'm out. I said I could do it next week or the week after. I'm glad I said that.
Hey, all of
and did not reference next week or the week after. He's looking at me funny today.
No, you've made the list. The people that have come on the show when D-Lo is out, it is Dr. Luke Wood, it is okay. Dusty Baker, and now it's Deuce Mason.
Hey, Dusty Baker was on accident too. That one was hilarious.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Was he in studio?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dusty was in studio, pulled up a chair, you know, behind everything was good. Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't even scheduled to be on the show either. It was just, hey, no. Dusty, do you want to talk for a little bit? Sure.
Yeah, sure. Come on through. Yeah, it's rough. Now, the whole thing is when Damien isn't here, we get the guests. You know, the guests come through. Now, it's not because of him. It just happens. When I'm not here, news breaks, right? Christian McCaffrey became a 49er while I was stuck in LaGuardia Airport on my way to Jamaica. So it's a give and take. It's a give and take. When I'm gone,
well,
again,
I'll be back, man. I've missed you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we were talking about I want to bring the conversation on during the break onto the radio. We were kind of just talking about the Kings. Last time I talked to Deuce in person was at the play-in game, and that was one of – you've seen probably all the games here in Golden 1 Center. That was one of the biggest disasters in that building's history.
That might be a bottom five moment in that building.
Yeah.
And it may be number one.
Well, so we've got that. We've got Puke Walton in that game.
But that ended up being a good thing, right?
Yeah, I guess. But that was a low low. That was a low low.
I'm also not like a conspiracy theory guy, except in this case.
Uh-huh.
What happened to Puke guy? How he's not been seen since.
You would he's the Bartman of Kings.
Like, where did he go?
Hey, that's a good question. Where is Puke guy? He's literally the Steve Bartman of Kings fandom.
Yeah.
Just not
he puked all over the floor, all over himself, not to be seen again. So I don't know, man. I'm not trying to start stuff here, but hopefully
you're saying he was an industry plant? He was potentially an industry plant. Puke guy was.
Yeah, or he took a dark turn. Hopefully everything's okay.
I hope he didn't take a dark turn. But we got the playing game. We got Puke Walton. We've got, you know, this was bad. This was bad, but I would not put game 7 of that first round series on there. I would not put that on there.
Yeah.
I think there's been lower moments.
It probably has. I mean, we've seen a lot of bad moments over the years, but game seven just hurts so bad. Because again, it was another game where you were just out of it. It seemed like at halftime. It was over.
And the Kings had got it to six at the end of the third quarter.
They got it to six. You're right.
And then right before the end of the Terrence Davis fouled Clay for a 4-point play. And that was with like six seconds to go in the third. And that was all she wrote. That was it. It feels like that game was a 20-point game the whole time. But I think it was a 1-point game at the half. And like I said, it was six until the 4-point play at the end of the third. So hit us up on the chatty house. Call in when Deuce is gone. Let us know the bottom five moments in Golden 1 Center history. That's what we're doing on KC Day.
Top moments to make me feel good. I'm coming in here. It's like we're talking about the play-in somehow. We're talking about the ultimate, like, the death of Puke Guy. And now we're going over bottom five moments at G1C. Top moment at Golden 1 Center. Game one, playoffs. Top second, game two, playoffs.
Is game one the number one moment?
I think it has to be. Although that play-in game.
That was fire.
Play-in victory over the Warriors.
That was fire. I'll put that at three. I think game one's got to be the best.
Yeah.
Game one was insane. The scene outside the arena and before the game and after the game was, I think you might have had to work. I don't know if you went out like right after game one was over, but we told the guys, like, hey, can we just slide out real quick and be in the Doco area right after the buzzer sounded? Oh, my goodness. It was a party. It was an absolute party. Would they have like another like 1,500 watching outside the Golden 1 Center? And that was
packed.
Yeah, that was the creme de la creme of the Golden 1 Center. So,
although game two, when Draymond stomps a bonus.
Oh my goodness. So me and D'Lo, we try to describe the energy in the building at that moment. I really thought something might pop off, like Draymond going to stands. And that moment when he's standing up there yelling, and it got kind of testy coming from the stands with him. That was just a crazy moment. I'd never
experienced I knew it was like bad. That. G-Man started taking off his headset and like undoing his suit and stuff. He was ready to throw down.
I was about to say G-Man was about to go out there and give him an old 1-2. Nah, that was crazy. But to win that game too was. That might have been the last great moment. But you're right. The playing game the following year, beating the Warriors was pretty dope too. They've had some as grim as like the last 6-7 months have been for Kings fans and the feeling of it. There's been some really good moments in the last 2 years. I don't want to be like super optimistic guy like when they're struggling, but there's been some damn good moments in the last two and a half seasons.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it just it sucks that it went away so fast. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest thing, right? Like it felt like it was turning the corner and going up and like, oh, cool, we're going to be relevant here the next 5-6 years at least and have some fun. And felt like it lasted a year and a half. Yeah. You know, that was about it.
That's facts. How do you feel about this team right now, though? Like today, you know, Schroeder. Yeah. Being signed, Nick Clifford, what he did in the summer, seeing right now. Do you think that this team looks like DeMar DeRozan is going to be back? So some people are hit or miss with that. I'm on the hit side. Like I like DeMar DeRozan. But how do you feel about this team today, this Kings team today?
I think if we lived in a basketball utopia, you could make a serious case like, hey, they could be just as good, if not slightly better. This coming season, they're not gonna have coaching drama. They're not gonna have the De'Aaron Fox thing hanging over them. They have a point guard now. Okay, like you could kind of see it, but it's also just weird. It's a weird group. Yeah. I mean, you bring back pretty much the same starting five plus Schroeder, and I like Schroeder. I think Kings fans are gonna like him too. I mean, I think he could be a little bit of an ass on the court. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll pick you up full court. He talks a lot of smack. I love that about him, but what I'm looking at this team, I'm going, okay, well, how are we getting Keegan Murray more looks this year? And some of it's on Keegan. He's got to go get it too. But like some of it is like he needs more opportunity. He can't just be the fourth and fifth option out there. I'm trying to see what this guy can be going forward. You're about to potentially give him a contract extension. I love what he does defensively. I thought he showed signs in the open floor last year of lowering that shoulder and just bullying, you know, guys right to the basket and dunking. Like, that was fun to see. But I want to see more opportunity for him. You know, Keon Ellis, I'm sure he's going it like, I can make some money this year. I want more opportunity to show you what I can do. And I'm looking and going, where is that opportunity coming from? Yeah. Like, even Schroeder, he still, to me, is like a score first guy. Mm-hmm. Although I think he's good at kind of picking his spots. Like, in Brooklyn last year, they asked him to score a little more. He did that. Right. He can play different types of roles. And I like the fact that he's going to push the pace. He's going to get you in your stuff. And I think someone like LaVine could thrive off of that. I just look at what else they have, and I'm going, okay, how do you get Keegan opportunity, Keon? I want Neek to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's old enough to play, right?
Yes, yeah.
How are you getting these players minutes with the roster that you have right now and opportunity? That's kind of my question.
Yeah, I think the minutes, there's only so many minutes to go around. And then you've got guys like Sabonis, DeRozan, LaVine, even Keegan. They're going to play upwards of 30 minutes a night at least. So, and then Monk is going to, if he's still here, he's going to get his minutes as well. So that's when it gets a little testy. I want to follow up on something you said about Schroeder and get your opinion on this. We were talking during the handoff about the point guard situation, and James was talking about, you know, making a competition, and he was breaking down some of the numbers about how Monk and Schroeder are kind of the same type of player. And I see it. I don't necessarily agree because I think the mentality is a little different between the two, but numbers wise, it's close, and I see the resemblance, but here's how I broke it down. I said this team needs a point guard. They need a starting point guard to set the table for others. And while Schroeder isn't Chris Paul, here's how I look at it. If Chris Paul goes into a game and says, for the first 7 minutes of this game, I'm getting everybody involved. That's what Chris Paul does. That's like the creme de la creme of table setter and organizer. Schroeder might say, for the first 4 minutes of this game, I'm going to get everybody else involved. Malik Monk would say, for the first minute and a half, I'm going to get everybody involved, right? And then, you know, and that's the difference. So I think Schroeder is a little bit more of a traditional table setter than they had after Fox left last year. And I think that might be where Keegan gets more looks, or DeRozan gets a little more comfortable, and others feel a little bit more involved in the offense, because you got a little bit more of a natural point guard at the helm with Dennis Schroeder, as opposed to Malik Monk, who he's a finisher to me. You know, I don't necessarily want him to be a table setter. I want him to be a finisher. What you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Malik, like, I like him off the bench. And I know there are moments last year, in the last couple of years, we were all talking about, like, hey, maybe you should, you know, start over Herter or whatever. I like him being that guy that provides a spark, and he could still play 30 minutes in a game off the bench if you need to. I mean, I still like Malik Monk. It seems like, you know, people might be a little more down on him right now. But he's a guy that is really nice in that pick and roll game with Sabonis. And then, like, he's the ultimate confidence guy. Like, he's going to come in, you could be down 12. He's going to go come in firing, attacking the rim, getting in the paint, knocking down threes. He's an energy guy, and I love that. And for Schroeder, I just think defensively he's better. You know, like, I just think he plays with a little more physicality. He could pick you up the whole, you know, 94 feet, which that's not something, you know, Malik's necessarily doing. Right. It's just such an interesting team, too, because I'm also trying to figure out, like, okay, what's the buy-in from everybody? Is everyone, like, happy to be there? Like, you know, the vibes seem good at Summer League with the young guys, and I see why they like all these young guys. They do a lot of things that you need in today's game. But, like, is LaVine totally, like, bought into everything? Yeah. Is DeMar totally bought in? Or are these guys, like, 1 foot out, too? Mm-hmm. Because they know the Kings have been talking, right? Right. I just want the complete buy-in. I think the best teams share the ball. They move the ball. They cut. I just – that's all I want to see this year. And if that means it's that starting five that we just talked about doing it, cool. If they're all bought in, or if it's the young guys that are doing it. I just want to see if they're bought into doing that, be out there – playing minutes. Watching Indiana, I know there's the two teams that made it to the finals, but, like, no one looks at the Pacers and go, man, they just got star power everywhere. Mm-hmm. It really did. Player Tyrese Haliburton, Siakam too. Yeah. But these are, you know what I mean? Like, the surrounding pieces were just bought into the style of play. They're getting the ball up and down the floor. They're moving nonstop. They're athletic. They're switchable. They could shoot. They could attack. versatility matters in today's game. And I don't know that the Kings obviously have addressed all those things in this offseason. And I think, you know, Scott walks into a situation where it's like, good luck trying to figure out how to navigate this roster right now when people aren't lining up to trade for your assets. They know you have to make a move. Unfortunately, you're asking a fan base to be patient a little bit when, you know, like you've asked them to be patient for like the better part of the last 25 years.
Yeah. We got my main man, Deuce Mason from the Deuce and Mo podcast. We are too poor to afford Mo. The streets are saying it takes six figures to even text her to ask her.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
So, dude, she's hard to get a hold of, man.
And hey, get paid. Get your money, Mo. You deserve it. You're doing your thing. So we can
she's
only afford one.
Money now. She's, you know, she's different.
We can only afford one. We got Deuce today, who told Damian last week, I will not go on your show. So I'm glad that we got him here this week. You guys went to Summer League, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was everything? I know you guys were around the Kings talking to some of the guys and saw some of those rookies. It seemed like the vibes were up, like you just mentioned. But how was it firsthand out there?
First of all, I don't know how you guys don't go to Summer League.
Well, like that's, did you hear that's what I just said about here? Why we couldn't get Mo? That's why we don't go to
Summer League. Okay, fair enough. I love Summer League. It's basketball all day long, yeah. And you just sit and watch games, go between the gym. It's amazing. I think the first thing, you know, I have to check myself, Kenny. You know, I get high and low sometimes. Yeah, and yeah. I bet you when once we get, you know, 2 weeks out from King season, I'm going to be walking around going, dude, I don't know, man. They're lying here. You just never know. Yeah. Why can't they be better? Why can't they win 45 games? But like I'm watching, you know, the first couple of games of Summer League and I'm going, dude, Ray, no, are you kidding me? The steal of all steals. And then I have to check myself, go, he was going up against Kyler Kelly. Do you know who Kyler Kelly is? No, it's okay. And that's okay. I'm not trying to take shots at Maxime Reina. I like his game, but for myself, I have to temper my expectations. You know, I like what I see from him. Does he have the shooting ability? A little inconsistent from beyond the arc during the summer league, small sample size, but I love the fact that the guy's talking nonstop. He's got great size, could put the ball on the floor, attack. Like, okay, I see it. And that's encouraging. With Clifford, I just go, I was really high after the first couple of games. But I'm going, oh, my God, how is this guy not a top five pick? I like his game. He just has a good all-around game. I think the thing that was kind of striking in person is I feel like he's bigger than he's listed.
That's what I thought, too. He's listed as 6'6", right? He looks.
I thought it was like 6'5". Okay, maybe that's right. I don't know.
But he just looks 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me on TV. I haven't seen him up close, but I agree with you. He looks taller than what he's listed.
And I'm really excited about his ability to pass the ball. Like he's a good setup guy. It's hard to evaluate Summer League sometimes, but it feels like he just does a lot of things well. And when you're picking what the 24th pick is when they got him, that's a no-brainer to me. And I thought even from his shooting and the turnaround jumper, some of the footwork, it was really impressive. So those two guys I really liked. Isaac, you know, he kind of played how I expected him to play. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is your second go-around here. You got experience in the NBA last year in the G League. Like, go to Summer League and do your thing. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully that evolves into something where he could be a rotational guy. Does he start replacing Trey Lyles' minutes next year? Can Isaac prove to knock down threes? Mm-hmm. I like what I saw from him too. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how the rotation looks like going into next year.
There was one guy you didn't mention because you were being nice. You were being nice. So there was one guy that you didn't mention.
I did not mention Devin Carter.
What'd you think about Devin?
This is so bad. I was thinking Dylan Cardwell. I'm not even getting to Devin Carter. Yeah, I mean, what can we say about Devin Carter? I mean, I don't know. Like, he has moments where, he could score a little bit. But I was looking forward to seeing him come in, similar to Isaac Jones, and go, hey, I know you didn't get Summer League last year in training camp, but you popped off in the G League. You had some moments in the NBA. Like, I'm interested to see what you worked on this summer. And I actually left with more questions than anything about him. Even defensively, I'm like, okay. Like, I felt like he was a better defender even at times last year. And I didn't see the same thing in the Summer League. And then from the, you know, shooting perspective, just offensively, you know, they don't really guard him. I think he thinks too much about a shot. Like, just let it fly, dude. You're open. Let it fly. I know it takes it a while. Like, his release takes a while. But it just felt like he wasn't decisive. He doesn't look like a point guard at all to me. He's like an off guard. Can he be impactful as a defender in this league because of his, you know, 6'8 3/4 wingspan? Sure, and his physical play. But I don't know. I try not to be a body language guy, Casey, but I'm like, he just looks tired out there sometimes. I'm like, I need you out there being relentless. I need you flying around, being physical, blocking shots. And we didn't see enough of that from him. So yeah. I don't know. I would say overall, like, his summer league was disappointing. He had good moments, yeah. Right? He had the games where he's knocking down shots. But I think for him to establish himself in this Kings rotation, it's like, you're going to do it defensively. You're locking guys down. You're communicating. You're rebounding, getting that ball out, and like getting stuff going for this team. And I thought it was inconsistent in the summer league.
Nah, I had the same thought with Devin Carter. I came away. I believe he's an NBA player for sure. I think that's a guy that's going to be in the league and can do some things. But in this situation in Sacramento, where they're looking for a point guard, you're fighting for minutes with Keon and Malik potentially. I don't know. We talked about Nick Clifford and how he looks taller than the 6'6 listing. Devin Carter, I think, is listed as 6'2, maybe 6'3. He looks shorter than that on the floor. You know what I mean? He looks like 6'1, 6 foot or something like that. And there was just, like you said, there was just more questions than answers after watching him play. And I really think he needs to be in a situation where he can just go out there and work on the things that he's best at. Right now, his best attribute is on the defensive end and picking his spots on the offensive end. And I don't know if the Kings are in a position to allow him to do that. And that's what makes it a little murky for his time here in Sacramento.
But it seems like he'd be like the perfect guy for them if he plays to his potential, right?
Yeah.
Just because of his size and his defensive ability, you would think that would be a guy that could find a spot.
But you know what the problem is, though? They've got a guy that does everything that you're looking for him to do better than him in Keon Ellis. So how does he play over Keon Ellis?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Keon is more consistent as a shooter, can create a little bit off the bounce on the offensive end. So they've already got somebody filling that role.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they make any other moves this offseason. And I know usually you get summer league and it's like, oh, all the moves are done. They've got 15 guys on the roster. But you've got Terrence Davis, who's on like a non-guaranteed deal. There's been enough noise about Saric maybe going back overseas. Like, I don't know. It makes you wonder if there could be something closer to camp. I mean, last year we saw a crazy trade right before camp with Kat, you know, getting traded to the Knicks for DiVincenzo and Randle. So you never know. It's just been such a weird free agency. I think it's like, it's not what it used to be at all, right? Like, it's used to be, oh, dude, right when that midnight strikes, because it used to be late at night, here come the alerts. Oh, my God, this guy signed. Well, no, all these guys are getting extensions with their teams. Restricted free agency is like nothing at the moment because no teams have cap space. Right. It's just kind of bizarre. And I hope they have a move or two left before camp, but if not, maybe closer to deadline, because I do think they need to open up opportunities for some of these younger guys on the team.
I agree. Dudes, before we let you go, man, I was talking to James about it yesterday, and now summer league is over and it's like officially NBA offseason, officially like nothing going on with the NBA. Obviously, you and Mo do a fantastic job with the entire league, you know, covering the entire league. But now you got a little chance to just chill out a little bit. I know Mo's got her Valkyrie's responsibilities and you do some stuff as well, but you're gonna chill out a little bit? What you got planned for?
I have a trip planned for August.
Okay, I see you in Cabo. Deuce, let's go.
It's going to Ireland and then Austria.
Go think farther. Think bigger, Casey. All right,
yeah. So doing that for a couple of weeks. But other than that, then I come back and I'm doing like the final 10 Valkyries games on the radio.
Nice.
Which is great.
Nice. Now, real quick, I didn't really recognize this until I think, I don't know if you were on the game. They had one of those camp games. So the Valkyries are on like CBS 13 as like, this is their market. Is that how that goes?
They're on CBS 13 sometimes. And then also on, What's the station Good Day Sacramento's on?
Max, it used to be KMAX or something like that.
It's just KMAX now. Yeah, just KMAX.
Okay.
Yeah. Those two. And then it's like KPIX in the Bay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I know you're an ACES person still, dude. You got to get your visa.
ACES for life, man. You know, we got to work on some things. We needed to get to the break and figure some things out. I think a big second half push is on the way. Yeah, we're going
to You need to go to a game at Chase.
I want
to
go.
Let me just tell you. We clown Chase Center for being the dental office, the vibe for Warriors games.
Yeah.
I've been there. I felt it. It is completely different for the Valkyries.
It looks like it. I want to go.
It's 18,000 legit sold out. And then like the fans are actually engaged. Mm. It's not like these, you know, the rich Silicon Valley Warriors fans that just kind of sit there and, you know.
I'm gonna check it out. When they first got the team, you know, I was bitter because the Monarchs aren't coming back probably. So I was I ain't going. But I've gotten off that. I'm gonna go to the Valkyries. I know some people over there working for the Valkyries that are good people. They tell me to come on through, so I'm gonna come through. But you know, I'm trying to see my Aces. You know, Aces for life over here, big dog. You know,
well, last time they were here, they got clapped.
They did. So I didn't like that. I didn't like that, dog. I didn't like that. Deuce, man, I appreciate you, man. I hit you kind of late. I hit you yesterday evening, man, and you was like, say less, man. So I appreciate you pulling up.
Yeah, of course, man. Happy birthday, dude. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you, man. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about Jerry Jones and how I'm a little – KC the GM is a little like Jerry Jones. I'm going to break it all down. And there may be Jerry Jones on the phone with us. I'll break it all down. It's D-Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320. We'll be right back.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option. That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
D-Lo and KC here, ESPN 1320. It's KC Day. It's KC Day. You already know what it is.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah. We're doing that all day. I have no problem.
Do you want to just, coming out the break, just do favorite moments of your life every time now?
Sure. Let's do it. Favorite moments of my life. Let's see. Should we do favorite moments of my life?
Favorite Christmas gift. How about favorite birthdays. We'll do that.
Favorite birthdays.
What's your favorite birthday of all time?
Well, damn, that's a good question. That is a real good question. What's my favorite birthday of all time? This isn't my favorite one of all time, but I remember when I was 10 years old, I had a birthday at King's Skate. And my auntie Cindy taught me how to skate. I remember that. 10 years old. Maybe it was 9. I don't know. But yeah. At 10 years old, birthday at King's Skate. What y'all know about King's Skate? You know what I mean? That's before Elk Grove was even thought of being Elk Grove. Went out there and she taught me how to skate for my birthday. So I remember that one. I had like a red t-shirt on with the hammer pants. So you don't know about that, Jesse. Hammer pants.
Yeah, you're right. I don't.
The hammer pants was so Hammer was doing his thing.
Like I know what hammer pants are, but I just was never around. I've never seen that in the open.
Yeah. No, it was official. Who, if you watch a lot of, I can't name a specific time, but like the wrestlers, when they would be in their civilian clothes, like they would come out. They would have a tank top on, like a hot pink tank top, because neon and stuff was in a hot pink tank top and these pants that were, they weren't exactly hammer pants because they weren't.
I know you're talking about, like, oh yeah, there's Macho Man. I'll roid it out in some hammer pants.
Exactly. Like the Steiner brothers would do something like that. And that's, I had some of those. I was rocking. So that was one of them. I had another really good birthday when I turned 17. I had a birthday party in Curtis Park and we were barbecuing. And we played pickup basketball right there in Curtis Park. That was fire. I'll save the other ones. I'll think about it and I'll save some other ones for throughout the show. This is your birthday.
Yeah, this is your life slash birthday. Shout out MC Hammer, by the way.
Shout out Hammer, man. They say Hammer don't play. What you know about the Funky Headhunter? Everybody remembers Hammer Pants, but the Funky Headhunter, come on, man. It's all good. Pumps and a bump. Funky
See, Hammer. I don't know anything about that. I've seen the videos. It's like, oh, yeah, you never want to cross MC Hammer. I've seen those ones.
Yeah. Shout out Oakland, man. Hammer had it like that. He had it like that. He was connected like that. Also, shout out Gino. Said it's his birthday as well. And because, you know, this is the etiquette when people give money to the Abyss. Chatty House after party. This is KC. What's the NL lead asking for an old man? The NL West lead. I think it's like 3.5 games. Yeah. I think the NL West lead is 3.5 games. That's the question that you asked. That's what I'm answering. I know you were trying to be a smartass, but you need to ask a better question, a more direct question, and then you will get a more direct answer. You said, KC, what's the NLS lead? I think it's 3.5.
Shout out.
You see that? He tried it. But no, yeah.
Shout out Brett's story. This is about Central Valley and MC Hammer's, I guess. He says, met MC Hammer at the old Manteca Water Slides back in the day. Super nice.
Yeah.
Like, meeting MC Hammer at Manteca Water Slides is fire.
He used to spend time out this way. I think he lives in Tracy now. He lives in Tracy.
There's always a thing. It was like, oh, yeah, if you play MC Hammer's team or whatever, you might catch him on the sidelines or something like that growing up.
Yeah, Hammer. I remember it was a big thing to go to the to his mansion. It wasn't in the Hayward Hills because it was next to Ohlone College, which is in Fremont. I think it's in Fremont. So it might have been like the Fremont Hills. But my mom and everything, she knew everybody. I mean, it wasn't a secret. It was just like up on a hill. You could only go so high, and they had the gate in front of it. But you could go up to his mansion, the Hammer Mansion. Okay, they're saying it was in Fremont. And as a kid, like, oh, man, driving up to the Hammer Estate was pretty cool, even though you could only get to the gate. And then you get to the gate, and it was probably like an acre and a half before his house. Like, you couldn't even see his house from the gate.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Who threw it
at least that's the way I remember it.
Someone in the chat threw it in there. I missed it. But either way, there's a Michael Crabtree 49ers MC Hammer connection.
What happened there?
I think he helped them come, like, see eye to eye on a contract holdout. Trying to read right
Hammer,
now.
Hammer is the West Coast Jay Prince.
That's what it sounds
Jay
like.
Prince is, man. Yeah, he's the West Coast Jay Prince. He'd be holding the court. While we're talking about contracts, while we're talking about 49ers wide receivers.
Yeah, your boy's wilding.
Hey, man. 49ers training camp starts today. Veterans reported today.
Well, not this one, actually. I thought we were talking about someone else.
Wait, who?
Your boy Jerry Jones.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. So this was a tease that I had yesterday that I'm about to pay off. So, the 49ers starting training camp today, or veterans are reporting today. I don't know if they're going to be on the field or all that other stuff. But training camp gets underway. Last week while I was gone, Juwan Jennings came out and through his agent and Adam Schefter and all this other stuff said he wants some more money. He wants a new contract or he wants to be traded. And there's a few things going on right now. There's a few things at play. The 49ers wide receiver room is looking a little bleak. And I'm not talking Memphis. We thought everything was all good with Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall is about to start off on the PUP list because he's got a hamstring thing going on. Yikes. His hamstring is starting to remind me of Devin Carter's shoulder. If you watch those games during summer league, Devin Carter
just throwing it around.
I mean, yeah, all the time. Like, bro, is this going to be a thing forever? Is this, and I'm not even trying to talk crazy about my man, but is this a chronic thing where the shoulder is just never going to feel right? It's always hanging on by a thread. It might be. But now I'm thinking about Ricky Pearsall. And we got to talk about this hamstring. Is this going to be chronic? Because everything was pointing to you were going to be good. You're going to be ready to go. And now you're going to start off on a PUP list due to the hamstring situation. Now, I saw Matt Maiocco said, He's starting off on the pup list, but it's not really that big of a concern. He should be good to go relatively soon. There's been no setback since it was announced earlier in the offseason with Kyle Shanahan. They're not at the point right now where things are going to be, you know, an issue. But I say all that to say, Juwan Jennings is like, yo, Pearsall's down. Then you go through that wide receiver room, and the guy they signed, Robinson, he's probably facing suspension. You've got my boy Jacob Cowing. Who knows how he's going to perform. I'm high on him. I think he's going to be a good ball player, but he's unproven. And you've got rookies as well that are unproven. So Juwan Jennings is like, look, man, I was your number one wide receiver last year. Brandon Ayuk is still out as well. He starts the season on the pup list. And who knows when he's going to come back. I was your number one wide receiver. I need to get paid more than what I did. I understand it. I get it. This is a situation where he's looking at his guaranteed money and his contract, and he kind of sees an opportunity that, you know, they're going to need me a little bit. So I need to get paid, or maybe you can move on from me. Here's where I'm not going to say he loses me, but this is now when I morph into KC, the GM. And this is where the Jerry Jones aspect comes into play a little bit. So if I'm Parag Marate and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I'm looking at this situation like, Juwan, we do need you. We do see the wide receiver room. You had a heck of a season last year. You've been a heck of a wide receiver for the 49ers. You almost won the Super Bowl MVP. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. And maybe I've got a little bit of PTSD when it comes to holdouts, contract situations, and signing players who threaten to hold out or actually execute it. Hold out, hold in, whatever. It's not good either way. Because the last three times that has happened to me, once again, I'm speaking as the member of the 49ers front office, it hasn't turned out well on the court, or excuse me, on the field. Nick Bosa, he held out. We paid him his money. Jesse, would you say Nick Bosa underperformed that year?
Yes.
Didn't work out. At least in the immediate time. I mean, and he's never gotten back to that level of where he was the previous year.
Everyone's been kind of waiting on that year he had.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten back to that. I believe it was the following year. Maybe I have them mixed up. Maybe they're in reverse. But Deebo Samuel.
He's in Washington now. That's how that turned out.
Was he ever the player that he was leading into those contract negotiations?
No.
Okay. Brandon Ayuk, the most recent one. He held out, held in, whatever you want to say. He wasn't ready to go for training camp and was trying to get his money. We eventually gave him what he was looking for. He got out there. And even before the season-ending injury that may have derailed his career permanently, was he looking like anything during the season?
No.
So I'm looking at this situation potentially if I'm the 49ers and I'm saying, Juwan, you're talking about holding out and what it's going to look like if you hold out, if you don't show up, what the wide receiver room is looking like if you're not here and you guys need me and all this other stuff. I'm not saying he's saying that, but that could be some of the conversations. Dog, history tells me if you hold out and we give you your money, you're not going to be any good. So what's the loss? Why would I, outside of just good faith and good business and doing stuff, why would I give you this money? It has not worked out for me literally ever.